Blog Talk Radio.
Well, praise the Lord, everybody. I want to welcome you to another edition of the Miracle Man Show here on Wednesday, the 4th of August in the year 2021. I'm your host, the Miracle Man, from Midland, Michigan, but not in Midland tonight. We're actually en route to my mom's, which lives in Clarkston, Michigan, down in the Detroit area. We were just at the Saginaw County Fair with Big Rock Amusement, and it was, a fun fair, a fun carnival midway. I rode on basically all the big rides except for one, but it was a blast. I don't know if my favorite was the Ring of Fire, which is a fireball type ride that goes upside down, or the Beat, which is a pendulum/frisbee type ride, or if my favorite was the Zero Gravity, which is a spinning/roundup type ride, or it's a gravity type ride, stand up, pinned to the wall. Had to get on the wrong way. Sorry, listeners. I'm sorry about that, listeners. We just had to figure something out. Doing two things at once. I'm not going to worry about the driving. She can deal with that. I'm going to deal with the show. I'm going to continue on with the show, not dealing with it. You folks are awesome. Thank you guys for tuning in, always. Wherever you are, however you found out about us, we're so glad you're with us. We've been at this for 4 years. And you guys are just wonderful. But it was my third time overall with this company, and I have to say, I enjoy them. I enjoy their midway offerings, Big Rock, that is. Hopefully, North American Midway can be good when they come to Midland in a week and a half. Friday, I will be going to Cedar Point. I'll let you know what my favorite roller coaster was, if I can whittle it down to one, or at least if I can whittle it down to less than those Elite Eight. At some point, one would think I'd be able to, but I haven't been able to because a bunch of them are that good. No, they're that good, and I don't allow things like wind to get in the way, because what if the wind that was there one time isn't there the next time? I don't mean the wind caused by the way the ride does it. I mean the wind, like the wind gusts in the air, in the weather, outside. Because otherwise, if I do that, weather could mess with it, which is not to be the case. Because weather giving it an edge is almost like cheating, right? Which means that it makes it so that's not real, you know? Like, okay, what's the real one? And so We'll see how it is. But I want to mention to you guys something that I've dealt with a few times on the show in the past. You know, Dr. Barclay has mentioned what I'm about to mention from the pulpit before. And Mom, you know about the one where Pastor Barclay has mentioned that one of his fathers in the faith was saying, I see people being on airplanes and the Holy Spirit tells them, you folks need to get off this plane right now. And then people say, I got to go. They tell the flight attendant, I need to go. You know, some things, I just got to go. Okay, your excuse. And then they get off, and then the plane takes off, and then it crashes. And then people being there, a restaurant to eat. People being at a restaurant to eat somewhere. And these people, you know, in a restaurant, and then they're sitting down, getting ready to order their, get their drinks, look at the menu, you know, getting ready to have some food at a restaurant. Yeah. But then God's saying, you need to get out of this restaurant or get off this patio, get off this street, you know, because sometimes downtown areas, some of the seating will be like on the sidewalk of the street. So basically say, you know, you need to leave this dining establishment right now. And then God showed him that it would just be blown up right there. People would die. Like just examples. What God showed, I believe it was Dr. Sutton, wasn't it? Dr. Hilton Sutton that saw these? That was when Dr. Barclay mentioned it the most. But he had said that in the last days, that kind of stuff would happen. So what we have to do these days with what's going on right now and everything that's going on with all the different things and different cities want to do this and that and the other thing. You have to be led by the Holy Spirit. You know, should I do this certain thing or shouldn't I? And be led by the Spirit of God. Spirit of God should ultimately be your God. Not the news media. Not even Mark Levin or Glenn Beck or Sean Hannity, even though the three that I just, Mark Levin, Glenn Beck, Sean Hannity, are generally very good. But ultimately, the Holy Spirit should be your guide, not the media. Even the good media, they shouldn't be your guide. You know, the Holy Spirit. Because, and you need to get yourself to that place where the Holy Spirit can lead you. Allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you. Allow the Holy Spirit to reveal things to you and show you things and to be able to show you, you know, as you go about your daily life. Now, the Holy Spirit's not going to tell you what sandwich to order. we're not going to sit here and overly spiritualize this. Tell like where you call your pastor and be like, Pastor, I'm at the sandwich shop. What's the Holy Spirit say that I should order for the sandwich? You know what your pastor's going to say? I don't. He's either going to say, I don't know. or it's not my call, or it's up to you, not me. You know, maybe he'll tell you to get out of that sandwich shop if you're not supposed to be in there, like the analogy I used with the restaurant. But like, other than that, he's not going to tell you not to order that certain particular sandwich, you know, or pickles, no pickles, onions, no onions, and all that, or what color car, you know, not that kind of stuff. But when you have to make major decisions, you know, and make decisions, you know, not about Laurie for this job offer or whatever, that's when you want to be led by the Spirit of God. And show you, and I'll show you what to do. Teach you what to say, how to say it. Because how many of you know that the Lord is our ever-present help in time of need? Amen. Yes, he is. One amen, three grunts, 20 stares. I guess we're good then. we're online, you know, but just trying to guess. You know, sometimes Dr. Buckley will be teaching from the pulpit, and he might say something like, "And I can see your holy stare, you know, looking at me." Or the other service, he said, "Don't you look at me with that tone of voice." I thought he was gonna say something like, "And if you do, put a mask on, please." At one point, did you almost think he was gonna say that? Well, so does Dr. Brown, but he actually said that once from the pulpit last year. He said, "If you're gonna look at me like that, put a mask on." You know. like knowing they wouldn't, but like to be funny. But like, you know, they got it. But you know, so you got to listen to what he is telling you and how you should be living.
I want to say something about that.
I'm going to have my mom say something about that. Mom, go ahead.
You know, that's why we have a relationship with Jesus, because the Word of God says that his children know his voice, they hear his voice. And so, you know, that whole concept of I only allow one spirit to minister to me, to speak to me, to be in my life, to give me counsel, and it is the Spirit of the living God. I pay attention. You know, like, is that the Spirit of God? Does it cause me to love people? Is it, you know, it takes practice, it takes paying attention, it takes slowing down and concentrating and meditating to hear the voice of God, know the voice of God. And honestly, Rivers, I would say that the biggest way, the most frequent way, we hear the Spirit of the living God is by reading our Bible and by listening to ministers. That's why we have to have a pastor that preaches the Bible, is so that we know the voice of God, hear the voice of God, we know these are the attributes of Jesus Christ. He is faithful, he is true, he is righteous, he leads us in the path of righteousness. So when we spend time with him and spend time in his house, we learn, and that's why church is so important. And then, you know, he can speak to us. It's discernment, and he can guide us and guard us, and he is our Lord, our master. We are no longer our own. He died that he might live through us, And as he lives through us, then, you know, we become new. And therefore, we know what to do when we don't know what to do. We wouldn't know what to do if it wasn't for Jesus Christ. Anxiety is guiding us, directing us. And so that's one of the greatest blessings of a Christian is that Jesus Christ is walking with us, guiding us, giving us, telling us, don't do this, don't do that. Stay with, you know, like, pay attention to the Spirit of God. He is directing you. He wants to guard you and feed you in your life. And, wow, what a powerful way to start a show.
Amen. And thanks, Mom. That was very encouraging, the way my mom just laid that out for us. And it really is important that we have what she said, even about, you know, the best way that we hear from the Holy Spirit is from, like she said, the Word of God. And also hearing from ministers, good, godly ministers, like Dr. Mark T. Barclay, who I'm proud to call my pastor in my entire lifetime. He was even my pastor from when I was a little tyke, like 1 or 2 years old, and couldn't understand what he was saying. Yes. Yep, he dedicated me, even though at the time, of course, I had no idea what it was. Luckily, thank you, Jesus, I have found out later. I've been caught up. And that I would live in that, and that I would live and not die, despite and of course, when you're at that young of an age, you do not want to be losing weight. That is one time that you have to say, I don't want to lose weight. And wait a minute, is that just something that it is doing, that it should know better than to do?
It just started raining.
No.
Yeah.
Go away. Not you, my listeners. Stay. Stay. Please stay. I'm talking about the rain outside. Oh, I guess anything can happen on the Miracle Man Show, I guess. as they say, signs and wonders, and even sometimes, you know, rain out of nowhere, even when we don't want it. Now, the rain of God, we love. The rain of God, the fire of God, you know, the fire of God hits you. Wonderful. Because I love the fire, God. I love it. The all-consuming fire. I really do. But what made me think about this whole being led by the Spirit thing is just that we were discussing some things, you know, that are going after we had left the fair, and I was like, I'm not really going to talk about those things specifically, but I am going to talk about being led by the Spirit of God, because she was asking me some questions. I basically said, it also comes down to that wisdom, having that godly wisdom that I had taught on Monday, and being wise and not foolish, because, you know, we have the 10 virgins. We have the 5 virgins that were wise. We have the 5 virgins that were foolish. The wise ones, they went out and bought oil ahead of time. The foolish showed up like before midnight, but they didn't have no oil with them. those foolish virgins said, well, you wise folk, give us some of our oil. Our lamps are going out. The wise ones say, no, sir. We're not giving you our oil, because if we do, there might not be enough for all of us. They wanted to be, yeah, and so and you know, when the last of the last days, we have to have that God kind of wisdom. And you can have the God kind of wisdom even at a young age, because it's different than the kind of wisdom that you get, you know, just because you get older, because you're 60 and you're not 20 years old anymore, or you're 70 and you're not 30 anymore. Oh, excuse me, like 80. Yeah, I'm sorry, 90 years old, 90, 90, 95, 98. Sorry, not 60. 60's young. 60's young. 60's very young. So very young, yes. Amen. Thank you, Mama. thank you. Didn't mean to poke. I'm sorry. Sewed you up. We're good. You know, sorry. The surgeon just kind of hit a little hard there. Struck a nerve. Sorry. All right. But anyhow, it's not the God kind of wisdom is not is different from like that earthly wisdom that comes from age and experience. It's where God shows those things. And, like, he shows you, okay, that's why, my son, my daughter. This is not wise. This is foolish. Don't be with these people. Don't be going there. Don't be doing that thing. And God reveals. You know, and God will give you that kind of wisdom. And now, oh, and by the way, wisdom, that doesn't mean wise and dumb mixed together. Dude, why do they call them wisdom teeth? Maybe they should just call them dumb teeth. Maybe they should call them dumb teeth because half the time they don't want us to keep them. Half the time they don't want us to keep wisdom teeth in our mouth. You know, more than, what did you say, more than half? They'll say, but in real, okay, enough of the wisdom. In reality, peace. In reality, the Holy Spirit will show us stuff, you know, and they'll do this, do not do that. Here's what you need to, because, and not everything is always like super clear. But there's like the glory cloud. Don't go into that dark cloud. In the last days, both clouds get more pronounced. The dark cloud gets more pronounced, darker, 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 more wicked, more evil. The glory cloud gets brighter and brighter and brighter. More revival, more miracles, more blessings, heaps. We just ended the foundation of the heaps, and now the heaps are accelerated. Houses, buildings, you know, even more finances and other different blessings. So now it's accelerated. So you can still look at 2 Chronicles 29 to look about the foundation. In 32, it didn't exactly talk about the 32. It talks about, you know, even more, you know, because the foundation is like to build the house, which means that there's something after the foundation, of course. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So that's why it means accelerated, which means that whatever you got in March, April, May, June, and July, as great as that was, this August, September, October, November, and December, how much more blessing, how much more miracles? If God can work on my eye socket and find out about it in March, unless it happened in April, May, June, July, what's going to happen in August? What's going to happen in September, October, November, December? What's going to happen at Christmas? What's God gonna do then? To stay true to Him and keep the faith and not hold grudges, never, as long as we stay with Him and stay plugged in and keep asking God for the blessings. But you know, how much more?
I think that a lot of it has to do with what are we looking at. You can look at the negative things. You can look at COVID stuff. You can look at the presidential things of what we agree with and what we don't. And you can look at the future and you can be afraid and fear can come and oppression can come and the uncertainty of tomorrow can come. And there's nothing wrong with having, being stocked up, being prepared, being all of those things. And again, walking in that discernment, like, how do I prepare for tomorrow? But we do it with faith and we do it in confidence that our God will never leave us. He will never forsake us. He's got us. And he's going to show us, what to do and what not to do. But we look at the future with this expectation of, oh, it's the last days, praise God. I know where I'm going. I know that if I die tomorrow, I'm going to heaven. I know Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ knows me. I see miracles coming. I see revival coming. I see a pouring out of the Spirit of the living God. I see people being set free, being delivered. I see tomorrow. I see me being a light in the world of darkness. I see me, getting stronger, doing things that I have never done before, laying hands on the sick and keeping them recovered at a level I have never seen flow through me, the power of God being revealed. I see tomorrow as wonderful and awesome and powerful because the wealth of the wicked is stored up for the righteous. And this is our year. This is our season. This is, read the book of Joel and see the miracles ahead of us and the times. And so it's like, yes, the world, there's things you can't buy. There's things that are happening. There's places you can't go if you're not vaccinated. There's things happening. But the people of the Lord Jesus Christ, we can know those things. And we can prepare for those things. But our eyes behold the glory, the presence, the outpouring, the miracles, the signs, the wonders. And we just love people. We cry out to Jesus Christ of Nazareth for those people who don't have anywhere to go. They don't know what to do, and they're lost, and they're scared. And we go, fearful? Well, how can we be afraid? The people of Jesus, we're not afraid. But the world's afraid. Some Christians are afraid. I don't know how they can live in fear, but some of them do. When, you can either have fear or faith. And we have faith that God is God. you know, one thing about it, Rivers, is Pastor told us you read Psalm 23 and Psalm 91 every single day.
Amen.
Because it builds confidence in who we are in Christ Jesus. And so I just wanted to share that.
Amen.
I won't take any more of your show, but I just wanted to share that.
Yeah, and I'm glad that she just shared that, you know, with us all. And we have to realize that no matter what, we trust in God. No matter what,
yes.
no matter what, and we rejoice in Him. And we can realize that because Jesus lives, we can face tomorrow, whatever that is, because He lives, I can face tomorrow because He lives. All fear is gone. Now I know I can face the future. Life is worth the living just because He lives. Because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Because He lives. What? All fear is gone. Now I know God holds the future. Life is worth the living just because He lives. And it goes back to what I was saying. No matter what that tomorrow is, good, bad, ugly, whatever it is, that we can face it because He lives. And we don't need to live in fear. We have to trust in Him. There's nothing, like my mom even said, there's nothing wrong with stocking up. You know, on some things. Maybe just don't go buy a 20-year supply of toilet paper. I know somebody, one of my staff, that their aunt bought a 2-year, nonetheless. You know, there's nothing wrong with having, you know, emergency supplies and different things, and I'll have different things for emergency. But what we don't do is live in fear. God does not want us to live in fear. It's not okay with Him for us to be just living in fear all the time. That's not okay. Because God wants us to be strong and courageous, not fearful, weak, down, beat up. And when Jesus comes, He's not coming. Oh, it says He's coming down for a broken down, beat up church that, oh, I can't wait for Him to come. It's been long, hard. I'm sorry. Oh, my Bible says He's coming for a triumphant church, a glorious church, a church without spot, wrinkle, blemish, or any such thing. That's who my Jesus is coming for when He comes to get us. And we hear that shout, and we hear that voice of the archangel and that trumpet. That's who He's coming for. that's exactly who he's coming for. And what a great day of rejoicing that will be when we meet Jesus. Let me just check the
7:05.
So, I want to encourage you to go to our website, riversandmiracles.com, to find out information about how you can buy the book. And it's a great book. And I'm not just saying that because God used my mom to write the book. I'm not giving my mom all the credit. I'm giving God all the credit because he used her to write it. Because I'm not going to sit here and do the pride thing and say, oh, my mom wrote it. We're just saying my mom wrote it doesn't necessarily make me prideful in any way, shape, or form. But I love giving credit to God because he's the one that helped her to write it. And explain that whole thing about how it was God that wanted you to write that book.
Oh, I will. So for years, you know, I had thought about writing a book, and then, you know, all of a sudden I had sold my medical school, and I was kind of like, what next? It was like, write the book and write the book now. Write it quick. And, you know, I mean, Rivers, I'm not a big book reader myself. I to read a novel or anything. I'm a Bible reader. And so my English grammar, you know, I thought would be an issue. I thought there'd be a lot of issues. But, you know, honestly, God just met me. And I wrote that book, and it was like the anointing of God was upon me. The hardest part of it was, you know, every miracle, every page, sometimes every sentence, like, Jesus Christ, is this exactly what you want me to say? Is this accurate? Is this pleasing to you, Jesus Christ? Because, Rivers, the book is a book of faith. It's
Amen.
So that people go through hard times, know what to do when they don't know what to do. The book is that, Rivers, you would have died. One of the first miracles, you know, in your life, born deaf and your face being deformed, you had a surgery when you were 3 days old, another surgery when you were 10 days old, just so that you could suck and swallow. But, Rivers, you were born at 8 pounds, 7 ounces. At 5 weeks old, you were in the hospital because you did not weigh 6 pounds. You were losing weight. Your body was gray and limp. Dr. Barkley came into the hospital, and he said, get this baby out of this hospital and to the church. We will dedicate him to the Lord Jesus Christ. And, Rib, you know, your little limp body in my arms, when Dr. Barkley said you will live and not die, life came into you. I mean, if a single mama, you were conceived in sin, Rivers, but
out of wedlock.
The love of Jesus Christ.
Yep.
I had given my life to Jesus when I was 6 weeks pregnant for you. And Jesus touched your body. Your body became strong, and you instantly, you know, your limp little body had life in it. And how can it be that Jesus Christ loves people, loves us, enough that he would do miracle after miracle after miracle after miracle in your life? But not just your life, Rivers. People have to read this book because they,
you can have miracles in your life by walking with Jesus Christ, by letting him just fill your life. He's so absolutely amazing. I want people to know that Jesus, Rivers,
right,
to know miracle power, delivering power, life-giving power of Jesus Christ. Glory to God in the highest. The book is all about how good God is.
Yes.
How faithful he is.
Yes.
How when we don't know what to do, he knows. He knows what to do. And so I do, Rivers, I challenge people to read the book so they can win the battles of life. So they can win and not be overcome by the circumstances of life, and that they can know a God bigger than everything that we faced, everything from sickness to poverty to depression to divorce to everything that we went through.
God is
Christ is faithful.
Exactly what I was about to say. My goodness. Look, it was almost like you were not reading my mind on purpose necessarily, none of that, but it was like I knew what you were going to say, and I was about to say it, that Jesus is so faithful. He has been so faithful through my life. He is still faithful right now. It was like back to that song that we sang last night about how he is the miracle worker. He's the way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, that light in the darkness. That's who he is. And that even when we can't or don't see it, he's working. Even when we can't or don't feel it, he's working. And that he never stops working on us. He's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. It took him just a week to make the earth, moon, and stars, the sun and the earth and Jupiter and Mars. How lovely and patient he must be if he's still working on me. And I know it's a little kid song that I remember from when I was very little, you know, like 6, 7 years old. But the truth is, that can stay with us because for lifelong. Because the truth is, he is still working on us. He is still working on us, making us what Jesus says we ought to be. You know, he's still working. He doesn't stop working. He's not going to stop until we're where he wants us. And just working at getting into the house, you know, doing 2 things at once, keeping a program going while getting into the house. I might be the most mobile radio guy that you know of. And what I mean by that is I mean during an episode.
Yes.
Because here I am, you know, getting back into, you know, getting into, you know, the house, and then I have to connect to a power source when we get in here so that the phone does not die. And then because I do not want to lose this episode until it is time to loop until the time, which is, of course, 8 o'clock. But, you know, but for now, I plan to keep this thing going. But first, I'm going to... Where's the power source? Thank you, madam. Mom, I mean. I've heard that before. That's from back in the day, though, isn't it?
Yeah, back in the day.
Back in, like, you used to hear that when you were younger back in the day, madam? But I don't know where, I don't know exactly where madam came from, but for that little second there, that just, it just really, truly sounded cool. That's why I used it, because I just think it, you know, sounded cool. You know, just making sure I had what I needed to continue tonight. And we are going to get into a song or two of worship, but then we are going to get into the Word. We're going to do one song, and we're going to get into the Word tonight. And I think I'm going to sing kind of goes with the being led by the Spirit. Come on and walk on the water with me. Come on and walk on the water with me. You will not fail. You will not fail. Come on and walk on the water with me. Come on and walk on the water with me. You will not fail. You will not fail. Come on and walk on the water with me. Come on and walk on the water with me. You will not fail. You will not fail. Come on and walk on the water with me. Yes, that's what Jesus said. Come on and walk on the water with me. You will not fail. Oh, no. You will not fail. I want to be more like you. I want to be more like you, Jesus. I want to be a vessel you will prove. I want to be more like you. I want to be more like you. I want to be more like you. I want to be a vessel you work through. I want to be more like you. Welcome into this place. Welcome into this broken vessel you desire to abide in the praises of your people. So we lift our hands and we lift our voice and we offer up this praise unto your name. Welcome into this praise. Oh, yes. Welcome into this broken vessel. You desire to abide in the praises of your people. And so we lift our hands and we lift our hearts. So we lift our hands and we lift our hearts and we offer up this praise unto your name. Oh, hallelujah. We thank you, Lord God, tonight. Thank you for who you are to us, what you are to us. Thank you that we are led by your Spirit, Lord God, that we live by you. We're led by you. We're led by your Holy Spirit. We thank you, Lord God, that you just minister to each and every one of us, wherever we are, whatever we're doing, and that you just strengthen us. You just strengthen us all the time. You're always making a way for us. And I just thank you that you're calming these storms for us. And now, Lord God, I just thank you that for every listener tuned into this program, I thank you, Lord God, for every need that is represented on the show. Every person has a need. One person's need might be different from another person's need. And I thank you that you meet all of these needs represented tonight in this broadcast, on this broadcast, in your mighty name. I thank you that as we study your holy word tonight, that these people are ready to receive from your word. They will be able to concentrate, focus, not be distracted by all this other stuff. And I just give you praise and honor and glory for that in your matchless name. Let's make our Bible confession. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what the word says I have. I can do what the word says I can do. Bible is more than a storybook to me. It's more than a religious book to me. And it's more than a history book to me. Tonight, I am a believer, therefore I'm a receiver, and I do believe that I will receive absolutely everything that God has for me tonight. In the name of Jesus. Wave that Bible around and make the devil nervous. Woo! The devil doesn't like that when you wave your Bible around. He doesn't like that. Amen. But we do. We love Jesus. I love Jesus. Turn with me, please, to the book of Jeremiah 1. I'm going to begin reading with verse 1. The words of Jeremiah, son of Hilkiah, one of the priests at Anathoth in the territory of Benjamin. The word of the Lord came to him in the 13th year of the reign of Josiah, son of Ammon, king of Judah, and through the reign of Jehoiakim, son of Hosiah, king of Judah, down to the 5th month of the 11th year of Zedekiah, son of Josiah, king of Judah, when the people of Jerusalem went into exile. Verse 4. The word of the Lord came to me, Jeremiah, saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Pause. The Lord knew you before you were even in your mother's womb. I'll say it again. The Lord knew you before you were in your mother's womb. All right, I'll pause. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew. Before you were born, you a part. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. Ah, sovereign Lord, I said, I do not know how to speak. I am only a child. The Lord said to me, do not say, I am only a child. You must go to everyone I send you to, and you must say whatever I have commanded you to say. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you, and I will rescue you, declares the Lord. Then the Lord reached out his hand, touched my mouth, and said to me, now I have put my words in your mouth. See, today I appoint you over nations and kingdoms to uproot and tear down, to destroy, to overthrow, to build, and to plant. The word of the Lord came to me. What do you see, Jeremiah? I see the branch of an almond tree, I replied. By I, that means Jeremiah. The Lord said to me, you have seen correctly. I am watching to see that my word is fulfilled. The word of the Lord came to me again. What do you see? I see a boiling pot that is tilting away from the north, I answered. And the Lord said to me, from the north poured out on all who live in the land. I am about to summon all the peoples of the northern kingdoms, declares the Lord. These kings will come and set up their thrones in the entrance of the gates of Jerusalem. They will come against all the surrounding walls and against all the towns of Judah. And I will pronounce my judgments on my people because of their wickedness in forsaking me, in burning incense to other gods, and in worshiping what their hands have made. Get yourself ready, stand up, and say to them whatever I command you. Do not be fortified by them, for I will terrify you before them. Today I have made you a fortified city, an iron pillar and a bronze wall to stand against the whole land, against the kings of Judah, its officials, its priests, and the people of the land. They will fight against you. But they will not overcome you. For I am with you, and I will rescue you, declares the Lord. Chapter 2. The word of the Lord came to Jeremiah. Go and proclaim in the hearing of Jerusalem, I remember the devotion that of your youth, how as a bride you loved me and you followed me through the desert, through a land not sown. Israel was holy to the Lord, the first fruits of his harvest. All who devoured her were held guilty. And disaster, declares the Lord. Hear the word of the Lord, O house of Jacob, all you clans of the house of Israel. This is what the Lord says. What fault did your fathers find in me that might strayed so far from me? They fulfilled worthless, they followed worthless idols and became worthless themselves. They did not ask, where is the Lord who brought us up out of Egypt? And led us through the barren wilderness, through a land of deserts, and a land of drought and darkness, a land where no one travels, and no one lives. I brought you into a fertile land to eat its fruit and rich produce. But you came and defiled my land, and you made my inheritance detestable. The priests did not ask, where is the Lord? There's no deal with the law. Did you know me? Leaders rebelled against me. The prophets prophesied to Baal, following worthless idols. Therefore, I bring charges against you again, declares the Lord, and I will bring charges against your children's children. I will cross over to the coast of Edom and look. Send and observe closely. See if there has ever been anything like this. Has a nation ever changed its gods? Yet they are not gods at all. But my people changed their glory in worthless idols. Worthless idols. Be appalled at this, O heavens, and shudder with great horror, declares the Lord. My people have committed two sins. They forsook me, spring of living water, and they dug their own cisterns, broken cisterns that can't hold water. Is Israel a servant, a slave to birth? Why then has he become one? Lions have roared. They have growled at me. They have laid waste my land, and towns burned and deserted. Also, the men of God you led in the way. Now, why go to Egypt to drink water from the Shehor? Your wickedness will punish you. Your backsliding will rebuke you. Consider then and realize how evil and bitter it is for you when you forsake the Lord your God and have no awe of me, declares the Lord God Almighty. Long ago, you broke off your yoke and tore off your bonds. You said, I will not serve you. Indeed, on every high hill, under and spreading tree, you lay down as a prostitute. I had planted you like a choice vine, sound and reliable stock. How then did you turn against me into a corrupt wild vine? Although you wash yourself with soda and you use an abundance of soap, the chain of your guilt is declared the Sovereign Lord. How can you say, I am not defiled? I have not run after the Baal. See how you behaved in the valley. Consider what you have done. You are swift and a camel, running here and there, a wild donkey accompanying the desert, sniffing the wind in her climbing, in her heat. Who can restrain her? Any males that pursue her need not tire themselves of mating so that they will find her. Do not run until your feet are bare and your throat is dry. But you said, it's no use. I love foreign gods. I must go after them. Now, the thief is disgraced. He is caught. So the house of Israel is disgraced. Then their kings and their officials, their priests, their prophets, they say to what gave me birth. They have turned their backs to me, and not their faces. Yet when they are in trouble, they say, come, save us. Where then are the gods that you made for yourselves? Them come, if they can save you, when you are in trouble. For you have as many gods as you have towns, O Judah. Why do you bring charges against me? You have all rebelled against me, declares the Lord. In vain. I punished your people. They did not respond to correction. Your sword has devoured your prophets like a raving, roaring lion. You of this generation, consider the word of the Lord. Have I been a desert to Israel or a land of great darkness? Why do my people say we are free to roam? We will come then no more. Does a maiden forget her jewelry, a bride, her wedding ornament? Yet my people have forgotten me. Days without number. How skilled you are pursuing, well, even ordering the woman clear from your ways. And your claws may find life board in a support, though you did not catch them breaking in. Yet in spite of all this, you say, I am innocent. He is not angry with me. I will pass judgment on you because you say, I have not sinned. Why do you go about so much changing your ways? You will be disappointed at Egypt as you were to Assyria. You will also leave that place with your hands on your head, and the Lord has rejected those that you trust and will not be helped. So, listeners, let me So, God was telling Jeremiah at first, you know, Jeremiah, he said, Jeremiah, I knew you before you were even in your mother's womb. He knew you before you were in your mother's womb. Before you were born, I separated you. He was destined to be a prophet of the Lord. You know, in my life, you see, we have a prophet. In my church, we have a pastor who is a prophet. Dr. Mark T. Barclay is a prophet of the Lord. He hears from the Lord. Prophets, the true prophets, they prophesy according to what the Lord is telling them. You know, and Dr. Barclay, he will say things through the prophet's office. The Lord, in chapter 2, was talking to Jeremiah concerning Israel, concerning their false god, concerning the way the people were living. He went as far as to say, Judah, you folk have as many gods as you do towns. Let me think here. Is that something you'd want to hear God say? You have as many false gods as you do towns? Is that something you'd want to hear God say?
No, absolutely no.
No, that is not. He didn't mean it as an indictment. The Lord does not lie. The Lord was telling the truth. The Lord was telling the truth. The people were not responding to correction. They ignored it. They were warned, you know, straighten up. Don't do this anymore. Stop. They won't listen. Sit in your life. That prophet, that pastor that you have in your life, he's a prophet of God, and he's the man of God, and he hears from the Lord, and God allows him to prophesy? Don't ignore it. Receive from it. There's the fivefold ministry. Is he seven sent out evangelists? Pastors, teachers, prophets, for the work of the ministry. I know, really, it says it the other, you know, apostles, evangelists, prophets, pastors, teachers, but those are what I like to call the fivefold. Fivefold. Obviously, you know, evangelists, those are important. Pastors are important. Teachers are very important. You know, apostles, you know, they have their place. Prophets have their place. All five have. Like, you know, that pastor is in your life to be a pastor to you. You know, to be your spiritual father. The teacher is in your life. You know, the spirit teacher. Would you say, Mom, in general, that these pastors, you know, if they're doing it truly biblically and correct, that they're also teachers?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely, yeah.
So the teachers, you know, that's another part of the fivefold. Like when pastor opens the Bible at the local church, to bring the word to you. He or she has opened up the word of God to preach and to teach you. To teach you a lesson based on the Bible. To teach you the word of God. To teach you from the word of God. The word of God is that. The word of God. It's the word of the God of the word. The Lord is the God of the word. He is the God of the Bible. That's how Dr. Barclay said it on Sunday morning. He taught that because the word of God, you know, we don't, and you don't want to get into Bible idolatry. You don't want to get into that. Ed mentioned that very briefly. No, we serve the God of the Word. We serve the God of the Word, though we read from the Word of God. So you see, those Israelites, as they had multiple times before, they were back to those other gods. You know, they had as many gods as they did towns. You know, God was not happy about them, about that. Listen. And so God raised up Jeremiah. And, you know, God raised up, in my case, you know, God raised up Dr. Barclay. And he's been going for years. It's in the Word of God. Former Marine. He has a story of how we got delivered from a lot of things. And if you don't know him, you could go get some of his books, listen to some of his sermons. He'll tell you. My pastor will tell you about how he got delivered from alcohol. He got delivered from smoking cigarettes. He got delivered from wanting to hurt people all the time. He got delivered from a foul mouth, from all these different things that he struggled with when he was very young. God delivered him from all of it. And then called him out. He called him. But, you know, God knew what Marky Barclay was supposed to do before he was even born. It wasn't like God changed it when Marky Barclay turned 20 or 21 or 22. You know, and went in the military and said, okay, all right, I'm going to sober. It's not like God suddenly came and said, all right, different plans for you. I'm going to sober you up. I'm going to take your guns or whatever and all that kind of stuff and do that. God had called who we now know as Dr. Barclay, Pastor Barclay, into the ministry, which she has been doing ever since. He was called out. He was separated by God. I'm not saying that we're all called to the fivefold ministry. Very few people end up fivefold. Very few people are called to be fivefold ministry. But we're all called to do something for God, whatever it is. We're all called to something. Every one of us has a ministry, even if it's just in the local church. We all have something. God knew us before we were in our mother's womb. And before we were born, before we made our first cry, God called us out. Said, listen, sir. Listen, ma'am. I mean, God called us out, even though we couldn't even hear it because we weren't born yet. I don't know of a kid who can hear. I don't know of a baby who could hear before they were born. Do you? Nope. Don't exist. But find out what the call of God is on our life. What is it that you want us to be? I know in my life it was that I would be a preacher. You know, however I do it. And, you know, I was told that my brother was told that he would be an entertainer. You know, like a Bible Christian entertainer. Wasn't he also told that he would be a pilot? Or was that me that thought that? What was the thing about the pilot? Because I used to say a lot when I was six about the pilot. Is that what it was that someone said that I would fly? That I would be the flyer?
That you would fly the world.
That I would fly to preach.
Yeah.
Like that doesn't mean like that. That means that I would be flown, but that not necessarily that I would be a pilot. Because Dr. Copeland, he has been a pilot before, but you don't know that he's flown, that he has been the pilot that's flown to his preaching appointment before, or you're sure he has back in the day.
Yeah, he said that.
Even though at six, they say like once you get into your 60s, like you can no longer fly. You know, so just check. So let's pray. Father, thank you tonight for this wonderful show. thank you, Lord God, for all these wonderful listeners who are tuned in from all over the world. From, you know, I know we have people listening from multiple different countries and multiple different continents, and I just ask you to bless every one of them. Thank you for tonight, and I guess it was just Spirit Night tonight, Lord. We talked about being led by the Spirit of God, Spirit of God for today. We talked about Jeremiah the prophet and how he was called out by God. Before he was even born. I thank you, Lord God, that we would find out from you what is our call from you, is our assignment for you, and that we would get busy with that assignment for you, and that if we don't know what it is, that even if we do know what it is, but we don't know, rather than sit there and wonder and be like, well, how do I do it? How, what, that you would show us, reveal things so that we know, so that we can do it how you want us to do it. In your holy name, Jesus, we pray. And I confess Psalm 91 over us in the name of Jesus. I say that no plague shall come nigh us, our immediate loved ones. You've given your angels charge over us to keep us in all of our ways. No drug or drunk driver, no rapist, no burglar, suicide, fire, flood, crash, sickness, disease, no terrorist, no COVID. None of the stuff comes near us or our loved ones. We're living great peace, joy, and prosperity, and a powerful witness for you, Jesus. Amen. I love you. Amen. Until next time, God first, God always. So long, everybody.